Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Middays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Speak up.
What are you laughing at? I'd rather follow that lead. What? Why are there giggles? Why do you have the giggles?
I don't know.
Do you need some Cheetos or something? What's going on, man?
Oh, I could always have, just as long as they're crunchy and not puffs. Puffs are fascist.
Yeah. Well, I don't dislike the puffs, but I much prefer the crunch.
Puffs are all identical. That's weird. That's creepy.
Oh, okay. I didn't think of it that way. I thought you just meant the actual flavor.
No, they're right. The flavor's the same.
Interesting.
It's all about texture.
Oh, so they're...
They're identical.
Oh, I never knew that was an issue. Why is that a problem?
Because look at it. Cheetos should all look different. You should pull a weird one out of there. You never know, and there should be a randomness to them.
And the cheese puffs are all the same.
Puffs are extruded. It's like the difference between hand-cut fries and extruded fries.
The Dan Bernstein Show.
That could be dinner, like a nice can of chili and a half a bag of Cheetos.
Wow.
A can of Wolf brand chili.
Interesting.
Yeah. Wolf brand with beans. That's the way to go.
On the score.
I get it. I actually did it. And part of it was because I was getting a little scared at Mariano's yesterday because it was as all hell was breaking loose with the weather. So it made it easier. Like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to go. It's like $1.69 a can. So it's almost free the way things are going lately. So I grabbed, and the Cheetos were on sale too. I grabbed a bag of Cheetos. I grabbed two cans of Wolf brand chili with beans. I had added I heated them up in a microwave. A little bit of sour cream, a little bit of cheddar thrown in there,
steak and I just dinner, boom.
Oh man, no, I'm telling you, and it's spicy. And someone on Twitter was like, "I can't believe people eat that brand of chili." It's good. It's really good. I think ConAgra owns it now, but it was a Texas brand that I only accidented into because. I used to thought the Chunky brand was good and Hormel's fine, but no, it was really good. Wolf was the truth. But the problem was because I was running so crazy, I forgot to get the mushrooms. I was making a pasta for the kids and I was doing this prosciutto cream spinach pasta, usually creaming mushrooms, and I forgot them because I'm like, oh, look at the sky. And then I kept thinking about the...
Thanks, Farmio.
He's going to be looking at the sky. And I mean above average. Do you ever read the Stephen King novella, The Mist, from Skeleton Crew?
No.
Okay. Well, briefly what happens is a father and son go to, spoiler alert, a father and son go to the grocery store, and a storm comes in, and with the storm comes basically the monster apocalypse.
He comes up the next time, he's going to be looking at the sky.
So that was my worry, because I was looking at the sky, and if you have any weather app on your phone, it's screaming at you to seek cover immediately. Like, there's a tornado up your ass, like, right there. I'm like, wait, it can't be like this. I look at it, okay. So I check the radar, like, all right, it's in Schaumburg, but you never know, because things happen on the leading edge, and it could be, you know, he gets struck by lightning or whatever. So I'm getting all crazy. So I end up forgetting the mushrooms, and so I make a pasta about the mushrooms. I'm already mad, and... Then I'm like, okay, I think we got to get down in the basement. I really do. And then it kept kind of drawing a bead on us, and it was a little touch and go there for a while. When there was one meteorologist based out of I retweeted it, a guy in Toronto or somewhere in Ontario, who shared a satellite image of the updraft of the storm over Chicago, which was described as nuclear, and that's what it looked like. it looked like a mushroom cloud of low pressure updraft, almost like a hurricane in the clouds above Chicago. And I'm thinking, all right, well, this is it. We're all doomed. And we kind of batten down the hatches. And then, of course, you know, the DirecTV goes out. So then you lose the Sox game and you lose the weather report and you're just sitting there and say, well, all right, whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
Members of weather report.
Yeah, there you go. A fine jazz fusion band, if you like that kind of thing. I believe Wayne Shorter was your saxophonist. And then it's over. It's all over. And it's like, okay, well, I guess we survived that. And now it's back to watching the White Sox. And they won. So that's pretty cool, I guess. Right?
God, we're here and the White Sox won.
How about it? Right? The house is standing. The White Sox win. The fat man's back on the mound and he's getting tattooed, but it doesn't matter. Yeah, he was bad. But I don't know. I guess his presence is going to make them better, even if he's given up 14 hits or whatever he did. So, but you know, people love the guy, and he's going to hold people accountable and scream at coaches, and that's going to make him better.
Respect fat.
Hey, look, he did his job. The Tigers are just brutal, and they have a good bullpen. I think Stoney pointed it out. How many bad teams have good bullpens? You almost never see that.
None after the deadline.
Yes, I'm saying the good point. Pre-deadline bad teams with good bullpens. When other teams are like, wait a second, you don't need those guys. What do you want for them? I don't know why they're talking like that, but they just do. 312-644-6767. That is the score. Listener line powered by BetQL. Bet smarter. Beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. If you would like to send an email, you send it to BernsteinShow at 670thescore.com. You go there to listen to us live because we stream at 670thescore.com. Texting in the text zone. Brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at RosenHyundai.com. You text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at BernsteinShow. You can follow me at Dan_Bernstein. Make sure you download the Odyssey app to stream the score. Go to Twitch right now. Check it out. Twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. We've got cameras. You can see me. You can see our executive producer, Rick Camp, our associate producer, Mike Rankin, Brandon Fryer in the back doing his stuff. Connor O'Donnell and Evan Thomas help out directing the video feed and the moderating the chat that goes on as well. When we come back, whatever it was, if you missed Tony La Russa's post game on NBC Sports Chicago, you missed a bit of baseball history. You missed Jurassic Park. You missed what it used to be in some way. And we'll take a little break from pounding Tony La Russa to just romanticize about an old thing that used to make baseball great on the score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I mean, is that really a question?
It's so much better when you're not in a lecture hall behind a lectern under the hot lights answering those questions. You heard the stories that Terry used to tell, that Barry Rosner used to tell, that I used to tell about. And I kind of saw the tail end of the glory days of the managerial postgame. The baseball managerial postgame. Whether it was spring training or the regular season, home or road, you went into the manager's office. And usually the game would end, and the manager would go, traditionally, the major league manager would go to his coach's room. There's an office where the coach's lockers are. And then the cold beers would come out, and win or lose, they'd talk a bunch of stuff over with the coaches, and then those of us with our notebooks and tape recorders would sit in the manager's office. And then the manager would come in or would welcome us in, would open the, we'd gather outside and he'd open the door if there was like a back way into his office from the coach's office. This was just protocol. And usually the manager was in some state of undress. Famously, Sparky Anderson would be completely naked from the waist down, often with his feet up on the desk. There were Don Zimmer stories that I can't tell that are pretty spectacular in that regard, but very, you won't eat for a week. That's just how it was. Often the manager wouldn't have a shirt on. the famous Jim Fregosi press conferences. He would just have his shirt off and someone be there in his boxers. That's how it was. And last night, man, there's Tony La Russa on TV. It's tape delayed, but there he is with his pants completely undone. Baseball pants unzipped, unsnapped, fly all the way open and splayed out. And he's sitting there on TV like that. And part of me's like, absolute respect. That's how it's supposed to look. That's what you now. I want you to listen to this. We trimmed it a little bit. Just listen to this. This is Tony La Russa after last night's game. It's his 3 minutes. He's sitting at his chair at his desk. The reporters are in his office, in the visiting manager's office. And tell me what stands out to you about this, especially if we compare and contrast it with his halting, blinking, stammering, uncomfortable press conferences in the home lecture hall.
Being interesting, because that's really one of the fascinating things during big league season when you have availability. It's really been drastic, and I think it's been that way for a lot of clubs this year. But during the season, you're going to have these games where it's, you really are, and if you got a chance to win, and it does create a lot of conversations, and somebody's got to step up. Well, this year we've had a bunch of them, and I'm sure everybody else has had them too.
What did you see from Lance?
Well, they jumped him early. He was getting ahead and they were ready to swing. That's what happened. A little bit like it was almost identical to what happened in Cueto yesterday. Two pitches, two runs. And then he started maneuvering the ball and they started pitching. But he came out of good. He knows if he'd have gotten that third, he was right about where he didn't want to push too much farther, but if he had gotten that second out, got to give him a chance to get the fifth in.
He looked fired up. It was after the second inning. He was having a conversation with Joe.
Yeah, you know why, though? He was mad at himself because he made a horse manure pitch. And right away, a lot of people, I thought it was because of the position. And Joe asked, he said, no, and I had to tell him, I know this guy. I can just read his lips. The hell am I doing? He was mad just because he didn't make the pitch. It wasn't, and Joe, he just cleared up and then we went on. He's never going to blame a coach. He talked about accountability. He's one of the best.
Is that something that he brings, though, out there, just that kind of a presence where, it seems like he kind of demands a lot from everybody, including himself, right? Would you say that?
Well, I do think that if somebody is back on their heels and the coaches don't get them on their heels, he's not afraid. He'll talk in the clubhouse, obviously, go on. But he's totally accountable about himself. He's not going to make a bad pitch and somebody makes bad hop and said, hey, why don't you catch that ball? And that's what it's a huge plus for him that he takes accountability. He's accountable. And it's a huge message for young pitchers. I know even last year, the Kopech and Cease were learning from him. And Gio's the same way. Gio's, he's not looking to blame somebody else.
How's Jake?
Good question. It looked bad, and then he was having trouble swinging, so we banged him. And then I started feeling better. He thought there was a re-enter rule in the big leagues. I said, is that Missouri State? Is that what he said? I said, no, there's no re-enter rule. He was diving into the pitch. It was scary.
If you get a chance to watch it, just tell me what your observations are there. Because it seems to me like that post game last night was the way they used to be, where you found a way to take the edge off before you meet the media. You found a way to be a little bit more relaxed, especially after a win. And the way that's how you would get these relationships built between, sometimes it's in the dugout before the game. But a lot of those times sticking around, because sometimes a manager just wants to talk. And sometimes, especially on the road, doesn't have to be anywhere. He's not hurrying home. I don't know where 77-year-old man at this point has to be anyway. But for a lot of these guys, the road after a win was always the place where that would go on. And then sometimes the manager says, hey, you know, we're done with on the record stuff here. We let's just talk. Turn your tape recorders off and say, hey, this is just so you know. And that's when you'd get the good stuff. Just so you know, this guy's a little hurt, or you really want to know why I couldn't play so-and-so. This guy showed up and he wasn't really in condition to be his best tonight. And that part of the relationship with the media and having that sort of, I don't want to say therapy, but that part of the whole mental health aspect of it was important to a lot of managers. It was part of the rhythm of a season, of having those moments and being able to trust the people there that certain things were were on background, certain things were for your edification, but that's how you got a really good, I mean, it's still professionally adversarial, but you would still have a proper relationship with the old pants off, dance off there. You know, I remember specifically, you know, thinking about this, what bothered Lou Piniella about his Cubs experience was when Lou Piniella started, and he had been, geez, everywhere. I mean, Yankees and Reds and Mariners and Rays. And that was when the Cubs began, because there was so much attention, they couldn't do stuff in his office at Wrigley. And they had to walk him down to that closet off of the concourse near the dugout. It was a literal storage closet. Literal storage closet, like sacks of diamond dry in there, and big rakes and shovels. Like that's where the grounds crew stored stuff. And they had to, it was before Wrigley got redone, and they had to do his postgame press conference there. And he hated it. He hated it. He hated all of the post games. He hated the bright lights. He hated the idea of this always being some sort of inquisition. When you remember his famous press conference, like, you lose a game here, everybody wants to take their belt off. Because this, Lou was one of those guys. Lou was a pants off after the game, feet up, let's talk baseball guy. And when that changed, it changed the relationship. It changed his overall comfort level to the point where he just got sick of it and quit. He just left. It was enough already. He'd had enough of it. And some of the younger managers now who are prepared to do things like this, that they will, you know, because they grew up differently in baseball, and they grew up with a more formalized post-game kind of situation, where that little bit of his, he was himself a little bit. And if you saw his body language too, you kind of saw him be more expressive. And we would always note it. There was the whole Terry Bevington thing. You know, Bevington was really uncomfortable speaking, just in general. He was bad at speaking, and he couldn't find words easily and didn't process information particularly deftly, which is why he would always slam a few beers before his post game. So you knew, and this is even, you know, spring training games, like it would be 2:00 in the afternoon, and he'd sit down with everybody, and he'd come in and just be like, and you just have to kind of let him get it out, because you knew how quickly he was throwing him back. But that was, and the thing is, and I understand that talking about this in the context of La Russa carries a lot more danger and weight because of his DUI convictions and everything else. But there was, if you look at him and you look at his body language last night, there was sort of a normality to him. Yeah, there was still plenty of his authentic frontier gibberish and his inability to properly shape his mouth to get some of the words out. That happens. But I guess it was one of the first times that he seemed comfortable. And maybe that goes for all of us. If we all unbutton our pants, wouldn't the world be a better place? I guess is the sorry, no, Rick, of course, that's presumed, but I've just been thinking about this, like, maybe that should be the rule for all, instead of having formal inquests or even at, like, the congressional proceedings, everybody, the rule is, two beers and your pants undone. Just that, I mean, not like completely, you don't have to show anything. Just as a thought experiment here. How much better would everything be? How much more easily would we come to agreements? Would we all be better if for any confrontation, for any sort of adverse proceeding, first thing you do, two cold ones and at least the top button and half the zipper. Agreed? Can we do this? This is different. Maybe this is a corollary to the Barry Rosner rule of once you get to 70, wearing any pants at all is completely optional because who cares at that point? And I think there's something to that. But it was just a little bit of an old romantic aspect of baseball that I think I may now demand this of all guests on the show. Two beers. Top, or pants button undone, zipper slightly unzipped, and we'll see if we can make the world a better place. Guess who's coming up next?
Someone Matt Spiegel. Will definitely follow the rule.
Yes, somebody who already has just said yes. Matt Spiegel will talk baseball with us on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Oh, oh, oh. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.